Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
If you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1. That's on your outline or on your listening sheet for certain. Could be on the screen in a moment. But I'm also going to read some other text from chapter 1 or verses just to further explain that sometimes we need to go back to Genesis. Some of you may be familiar with that ministry. Sometime other than right now, I would encourage you to Google back to Genesis. There's a lot of things that deal with apologetics and helping us defend our faith and reminding us of what we believe in that particular ministry. But as we go back to Genesis today, we're going to see a very familiar verse. If you grew up in the church like I did, you probably learned this very early on. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then he goes on to explain the different aspects of his creation. And then I want you to look at or listen to verse 26. "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" And so God created. Created is a verb used in describing the details of God's creation, kind of like the potter and the clay. It's a work of art, and it's something that God did in forming mankind. "In his own image," verse 27, and then verse 27b says, "In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." Now today, if you are watching by Facebook Live, you're listening on the radio, you may not know the title of the message. The title of the message is "What's Up with UFOs." You see what I did there? What's up with UFOs? And I want us to know that we could obviously draw our own conclusions after just reading the text. I think when we think about the fact that we've been reminded that God created everything, and if you know anything about the character of God, then we know he's not trying to be confusing. He is not the author of confusion. If we are confused, which sometimes we may be, about certain matters, certain doctrines, or certain passages, usually, as a child of God, if we take the time to study the context of the Scripture, and we take the time to try to understand who the writer was, who he was writing to, understanding the culture, then we can draw conclusions by faith that this is the Word of God, and he is true, and he's accurate in everything that he says and that he does. And there's some things in the Bible that are certain types of mysteries, and to me, it's just a reminder that I am finite, and he's infinite. I am not God, and neither are you, or neither is anybody else that's written wonderful books, and we're grateful for fine Christian books. But we must be reminded that God's Word is God's Word, and we always, by faith, come back to it. So today, we're going to conclude our summer series of hot topics, and we've studied a lot of different things. There's still some things from last summer and this summer that we've not explored, so perhaps next summer we'll jump into hot topics for a hot summer version or type number three. But today, as we look at this particular subject, which was scheduled for about a month ago, but because of change of plans, we are picking back up with it today because of something that happened in our world. We are going to look at this subject and then move on from here with another series beginning October and some singular sermons for the rest of the month of September. There has been somewhat of an uptick in interest in UFOs, at least from my observation of being here for a number of decades. Even the government has done some study on this back in 2020. And if you were especially interested in this, you probably know all about their report. And that again, not right now, hopefully, but sometime later you can Google that and see what our leaders of our nation came up with, or that subcommittee or group that came out with a report in, I believe, 2021. Perhaps there's an uptick or an interest because of Star Wars or because of others' movies of the like. Maybe it's because of a special day that's now recognized on July the 2nd every summer called World UFO Day. Did anybody in here besides me just learn that this summer? Would you raise your hand? Did you know about this? Okay, some of you did. Well, there is such a thing. Not July 4th, but July the 2nd, UFO Day. Now, we know that UFO basically stands for Unidentified Flying Objects. Well, today, as we further begin our introduction, I want us to keep in mind two different meanings and words. There's UFOs and then there's aliens. So we must understand those are two different things, and I'm going to give you basic definitions of both. Now, when we think of unidentified flying objects, we usually think of something like this. When we think of aliens, we may think of something like this. A human creature type that does not look normal, okay? So here's a definition of an alien. It is a word used to describe person-like living things from somewhere other than Earth. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've never been one to get really into the Star Wars movies, but there was my favorite part. And that was the unique alien-type creatures, especially when they'd go into different socials or parties or bars and they had all these different creatures. That's really why your pastor liked to watch Star Wars, and that's it. So that is one definition, alien, a word used to describe person-like living things from somewhere other than Earth. UFO, usually referring to a vehicle used by supposed aliens. UFO typically stands for unidentified flying objects. And sometimes those could be, and we know they exist because they could be weather balloons, foreign spy drones, airborne trash. They could even be various tricks of light, which is why some also use the phrase unidentified aerial phenomena. Now, back about a month ago when I was sharing with my wife, Kelly, a little bit about this particular subject, she thought it would be a real cool idea to get Brother Scott's drone to come in and fly around about the time I introduced my sermon. That was her idea and not mine. Can you believe that? Well, I just thought, no, Kelly, we just cannot do anything that strange. This is already a little different anyway. So, Scott, you're off the hook. You didn't have to say yes or no, or you know what? You tell Kelly that's really not a good idea. And so I just thought I would throw my wife under the bus just for a moment. And as I get started on this, because sometimes people seem to think strange ideas from our family are always from me. Not always. Let's consider these three major points. First one is this. Some family members believe aliens exist. Now, for the sake of this sermon, I want you to know, as I use the word family, I'm talking about blood kin family, especially on point number one. But I'm also talking about the family of God, those of us that have entered a relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? So the first point is this. Some family members believe aliens exist. Now, you may be thinking that I'm preparing you for Thanksgiving and Christmas because it's coming. Well, perhaps. I certainly had one in my family for a season and for a time that was very interested in this and actually believed in this phenomenon. It is true. I had, when my dad was alive, he was not one that believed this. When he passed away at 60 because of cancer, my mother eventually remarried. She married someone that would have been considered literally a rocket scientist. And he worked in Huntsville at the Space Center. His name was Richard or Dick Allbritton. They went to school together, were acquaintances, and their spouses died within the same year. And this was before cell phones, but they started communicating, and lo and behold, they got married. And so he, my mother's husband, you say, well, why? Wasn't he your stepfather? Well, technically, I guess you could say that, but we were all out of the home. So I was the youngest. We were all married, out of the home, had children, had grandchildren, and they considered Dick, Mr. Allbritton, their grandfather. But I would always refer to him, usually in talking to people, as my mother's husband. They were married 25 years before my mother died, and he provided for her. But he was also a professing Christian. He taught Sunday school. He was a deacon in his church. He was raised at First Baptist Clinton, Mississippi years ago in a Christian family. His dad worked at Mississippi College. And so we must understand that sometimes we may be at Thanksgiving or Christmas or the holidays with someone in our family that does believe in aliens, UFOs, and the like. We've already indicated the Bible doesn't say anything about the existence of life beyond our planet or in our solar systems based on the passage that I just read. There was nothing in there about UFOs. In theory, God could have designed other life, even intelligent life, even though image bearers of God in Genesis 1:27 and elsewhere in the universe is listed. Images of God, meaning male and female, man and women. Some scholars believe the fact that Scripture is silent as proof that aliens do not exist. Others note that the Bible often omits topics irrelevant to our relationship with God. Let's keep that in mind. If God is silent or somewhat silent on a subject, then because we trust in the character of God, we must trust him in this. That it must be there's something there that we do not need to know, or we have no need to know because it is not true. John 21:25 indicates this. Jesus did many other things not recorded. John 21:25. About the only near universal conclusion among Bible scholars on this subject is that human contact with intelligent alien life is extremely unlikely. So, control yourself if you're tempted to mess with people, like I was with my mother's husband about such beliefs at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Some families believe, members believe they exist. They are professing Christians that believe for whatever reason, and that does not make them heretical automatically. But it can, for someone like me, provide a lot of entertainment at Thanksgiving and Christmas. I must tell you that Mr. Allbritton is in heaven. He was a professing Christian. But I also must tell you, I had two older sisters, and they had brother-in-laws that I loved to have fun with, as you can imagine. And so oftentimes at Thanksgiving and Christmas, I would just bring up the subject just to get Mr. Allbritton talking about it, and then I would leave the room just winking at him. So we must understand that some of us may not believe it, might have fun with it, but we must understand there's some people in our family that do. And so we must be careful in treating them with respect and love. And besides, as my mom always said, if people mess with you, that means they love you. So let's keep that in mind. Major point number two. Most family members, meaning God's family, the ecclesia, the called out ones, those that have relationship with Christ, do not believe aliens exist. The percentage is low, meaning I don't, just so you'll know. There are mentors that invested in my life besides my preacher dad. There were professors that I had in seminary in the doctoral program that didn't. So we must understand that obviously we do not need to know if aliens exist to have a personal relationship with Christ. John 1:12 lets us know this reality. To all that receive him, he gave us the opportunity to put our faith and trust in Christ. Some Christians have too much going on in their life that are obvious in life to be too concerned as far as challenges about aliens. Here's two professors. One, Jim Dennison, who received his doctorate from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary and is in cultural Christianity. He writes articles, written books in the Dallas-Fort Worth area all the time. Jim Dennison. Cultural commentary is another thing you could Google sometime. He's an excellent apologist. And then there's Dr. Albert Moeller, who is the current president of Southern Seminary. Our first seminary is Southern Baptist that was founded years and years ago. Dr. Dennison says this. He said, here's the bottom line. I'm not aware of a biblical text that categorically vetoes the possibility of life on other planets. However, the logic of such life, combined with uniqueness of our planet and the necessity of Jesus' atonement for such beings, leaves me highly doubtful that aliens exist. Dr. Moeller, there is nothing in Scripture that says there can't be some form of life somewhere. But what we are told is that the cosmos was created in order that on this planet, Jesus Christ and space and time and history would come to save sinful humanity. Before moving on to point number three, I want to reference a book that I borrowed entitled Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. Copyright early 2002. It says, subtitle, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. From my scanning of this book and reading, it seems to be on point. I just want to read just a small section of a summary of the book that says, the worldview held by cult members and other UFO believers isn't logic or coherent, but the participants have such a powerful spiritual need that they are willing to accept it anyway. He's not saying everybody's like that, but he's saying, hey, let me point us toward a direction that we need to consider. And then he goes on to say this. The biblical worldview is much more satisfying, going back to Genesis. It leaves open the possibility that God could have created life elsewhere in the universe, but it also suggests that there is no reason for him to have done so. The Bible warns of the danger of the occult practices, such as those associated with UFOs. And from the Bible, one learns how to find protection from the evil spirits who are causing our UFO encounters, meaning residual unidentified flying objects. The Bible encourages a pursuit of the truth in this area as in all other areas. The truth about UFOs can be known. Indeed, The UFO mystery is a mystery solved, he says. Earth is not being visited by aliens, according to him, from another planet. But some people are being visited by spirits, being who want everyone to think they are aliens from another planet. But trusting the revelation given by the greatest transdimensional being of them all, people need never wonder about UFOs again. When people put their lives in the hands of this cause of human existence, this God who loves every person, the fear of UFO demons and what they can evaporates completely. I read that because I want you to be aware that that could very well be a part of what's going on. Major point number three. All family, meaning the family of God, believes in the one who created everything that does exist. We're studying that on Wednesday nights. The exclusivity of Jesus Christ, John 14:6. There's only one way, and it's through Christ. And we all believe in that if we are genuinely a child of God. We believe in the atonement. We believe in Christ alone. We believe that God is the one that creates all things in Christ. It says this in Colossians 1:16. All things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. This is the case everywhere in the universe. It's amazing when our primary focus is on our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, how many questions we don't have, or we don't allow ourselves to be consumed with them. There's nothing wrong with asking questions. But when we are on a peripheral issue out here, a non-essential, and we camp there and stay there, and then if you solve that one, or you hear an answer, but you may or may not really like it or really don't care, and look for another question, that's something to question in your own heart. Why am I doing this? Do I know Christ? Do I know him personally? Do I really want answers, or am I trying to find a way to confuse the authority of Scripture, perhaps? I close with this great comment from my study in preparation for this particular sermon. Claims of alien encounters should be met with cautious skepticism at the very least. It's possible that all such experiences are the work of demons or evil spirits as part of a strategy to confuse unbelievers. Or reports of UFO sightings could be the product of humanity's love of conspiracy theories, or a collective willingness to leave room for unlikely things to happen, even if intelligent alien life were proven real. Scripture's truth would not be threatened. Discovering aliens would mostly reinforce the idea that mankind knows very little compared to God. One of the things we studied this past Wednesday night, in chapter 4 of our study in the book we're going through, is the holiness of God. Only God is holy. Only God is omniscient. Only God is omnipotent. Only God is everywhere omnipresent. And here's what it says in Job's 38. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm as he was beginning to ask questions. And this is what he said. Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Verse 18 in Job 38, have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Tell me if you know all this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. What I enjoyed about this study of this particular subject is this. It is a reminder for me how holy and powerful and awesome God is, and how depraved and sinful and finite I am. I have limited understanding. I want a God that is perfect, because I'm far from it. I want a God that knows everything, because the more I know, the more I realize I don't know. I want a God that leaves His children truth. I want a God that has the essentials of doctrine, the one way of salvation, the Trinity, the fact that He's the creator of all things, and I don't have to wonder about things that are essential. I want a God that still allows me to exercise faith in my daily life, not just in salvation, but also in understanding Him. If it's here, I need to know it. If it's somewhat of a mystery, I can dig and pray and study and usually come up with a way of understanding by faith. Ah, that's what this means based on my understanding. But I also know that if a month goes by or years goes by and other years go by and the subject comes up again, and I think, now what is it over here I remembered that I believed about that? And I don't quite remember. I can know this. God is faithful. I'm His child by faith alone. And if I take the time to go back, more than likely, He'll give me the same answer and understanding based on His word of what's important and what's not. And it'll be a reminder that He is God and I'm not. Let's pray together. God, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your word. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone listening that's been bothered by this particular subject about UFOs or aliens, that God, in Your sovereignty and in Your providence, I pray You'll give them peace. I pray You'll help them resolve it and understand it. I pray that they will use it as an opportunity to grow in their faith and trust You with whatever conclusion they come up with. God, help us to be humble, to be teachable, to be aliens in the sense of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, that says we're to be different, that we're strangers in this world, not because of anything except that we're not supposed to look like the world and believe like the world and act like the world. We're to be different. We're to love You. We're to love everybody and to meet them where they are. And we're to trust You with things that we struggle with by faith and not allow it to get us way off track, but allow it to grow us deeper in our understanding of who You really are. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you to stand for our invitation. The staff will be here to receive you if God's leading you to make a public decision this morning.